Amen. He's coming. He said he would, and he's going to. Hallelujah. Well, in light of his coming, I believe the Lord has an attitude of heart that he wants us to adopt. This is going to be part two of Bert's message. He didn't really, well, he did know what I was going to say, but not fully. And he used many of the scriptures that I'm going to use tonight. But I guess sometimes the Lord repeats himself because we need to hear what the Lord is saying. So I'm just going to give this word in faith, believing that he has a further word to speak to us tonight. Hallelujah. So Lord, we pray, in light of your coming, you are coming. Lord, you are coming. We want to be ready. We want to be aware of the times that we live in. Lord, we want to know what is on your heart and what you are doing and what you have for each one of us. It is so important for the church to be ready. So, Lord, we pray as we stand here before you today. We sit here in your presence. We expose ourselves to your Spirit. We ask that you would continue your work of getting us ready for what is about to happen. Father, we know your gracious workings upon our life. We thank you for your hand upon our life. Lord, you have not let us alone, but you have caused us, O Lord, to be with you and walk with you through the fire, through the flood, and through the many trials that present themselves as we walk with you along the way. And Lord, we know that each one of these are intended not for our destruction, but for our development. So, Father, we give ourselves to you as we expose ourselves yet to another message. I wonder how many messages we've heard in our Christian walk. Maybe thousands upon thousands upon thousands. But, Lord, there's a word coming from your throne that you want to speak to each one. You want to speak to our hearts. You want to put your word within our lives. So we expose ourselves one more time to your presence. And we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And the title of this message could be Awake, Arise, and Be Ready. The three things: awake, arise, and be ready. In Ephesians chapter 5, there is an exhortation that we need to pay attention to. It says here in verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says," and who's saying it? It's God, it's the Spirit. "Wherefore the Spirit is saying, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In other words, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See then that you walk carefully. It says circumspectly, but who in the world knows what that really means? It means carefully. It means cautiously. It means looking around, being aware, not just going through life happy-go-lucky, but walking with the Lord carefully and cautiously. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Would we agree with that? The days are evil. More now than ever, we would agree with it. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll leave it there. But here it says, a quote from Isaiah 60, verse 1. Awake, thou that sleepest, because the days are evil. Awake! Do not fall asleep. Do not become intoxicated. Do not become careless. Living your Christian life day by day just with no real vision. The word awake, when you awake, you tend to open your eyes. You open your eyes. You even open all of your senses, really. Everything becomes aware of the situation. You assess what's going on when you awake. You collect all of your faculties. That's what it means in the original language. It has the implication that you would call into your eyes and say, eyes, see, assess, take note of what's going on. Ears, hear, be aware of your surroundings, be aware. Smell, discern the time in which you are waking up into. Touch and feel and know where you are. Be aware of your situation. Assess the conditions around you. Plan for your day. Go through in your mind when your eyes are open. What is ahead for me? How must I walk knowing what's ahead? Sometimes we don't know exactly what's ahead, what a day will bring. But it is good to focus in on God. We were talking about with the pastor, focusing in on the Lord, directing ourselves, collecting ourselves, our thoughts, to be focused upon Him and to be aware of the day that we're going to wake up into. So awaking is a state of being that takes place after a slumber. A slumber or a time of sleeping is meant to be restful, is meant to be recreative for us. But if it's overdone and it's done at the wrong times, it can become something that lulls our whole being into an insensitivity to what the Lord is doing. He wants us to arise and be aware of the hour that we're living in. The Bible tells us that we're living in perilous times, dangerous times, times where we could be picked off, isolated, put off to the side, offended, so that in the offense we are driven in a place that is alone. We're alone. And we are not able to be challenged by the Spirit of God in one another. So God wants us to be aware that not happened to us. For if the enemy can pick us off, we will not be able to fulfill the reason for which we were born and the reason for which we've come to this hour. It's important for us to be totally awake and to be aware, like the children of Issachar. They knew the times in which they were living. They knew what God was about to do. They knew what he was doing, and they were aware of the movement of the enemy and how they should walk and how they should behave themselves. So God is calling for a people in this day to be awake. His church, awake! Awake! He wants us to be awake, to be on high alert. What comes to mind just now is what happened at Pearl Harbor. That celebration of that day is coming up in a couple of months. It seemed to me that the people at the base in Hawaii were asleep, and they literally were asleep because it happened in the morning. But for some reasons, the reconnaissance wasn't sharp. They didn't pick up what was happening. And before you know it, the enemy came, and there was destruction and loss of life all around. We need not be caught in that situation, but we can walk in awareness, in a state of awakeness, if there's such a word. Okay. We're going to look into this in the story of Deborah. So let's go back to Judges chapter 4. Way back in the Old Testament there, in Judges chapter 4. The book of Judges is basically a book that records all of the backslidings of Israel, the chastenings of God upon Israel, and the deliverance of God from the captivity of the enemy. And it cycles through many, many, many times. So in chapter 4, we break into a situation where the former judges have died, and then the children of Israel begin to sin again. And that seems to be nothing new. That's the pattern. That when there is no king, there is no person to lead and guide, that there is a straying. Without proper leadership, the church goes astray. Without the leadership of the that should be in the body of Christ, heralding the present word of God, the church will fall asleep. The church will go astray. And the church will find themselves in a state of idolatry once again. And this is what happened. They fell into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who oppressed them for 20 years. And why? Because God was chastening them for their idolatry. And so he brought upon them this captivity for 20 years. By and by, after 20 years, they began to wake up to the fact that this was no good. They couldn't put up with this captivity any longer. So they began to cry unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them. It says in verse 3 of chapter 4, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the reason why they cried unto the Lord is because the army was very oppressive. It was headed up by this man, this general. His name was Sisera. And this army was very strong, and it seemed like they would never, ever be able to get out of captivity because this army was equipped with all the latest tanks and everything, all the armaments that were needed. they had 900 chariots of iron. And so it seemed like the enemy was so strong that they didn't know how they were going to get free from this bondage. But there was a person who was listening to God. Verse 4, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And what she did was she had a place. I don't know if it was a little hut, because some people think that because it says that she dwelt under a palm tree, that she had a little place where she lived. Or it could have been just like a kiosk with shade or something and a chair. And she was there, and she was bringing about justice, solving issues, civil issues, and probably mostly issues that had to do with the worship of God. She was rightly dividing the law and putting into practice righteousness. That's what she did.